We've completed the first five books of the Bible. We've completed five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We're almost finished with the book of Psalms. We've gone through the Gospel of Matthew, James, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, 1st and 2nd Peter. So we're making pretty good progress here as a church family, working our way through these books, starting tonight on book 6 in the beginning of the Bible, the book of Joshua. If you'll turn to Joshua chapter 1 this evening, we'll take a look at that as part of our evening worship here. The title of the message is Strong, Be Strong and Courageous. The Lord had a father-son talk with Joshua and said, Although I'm going to be with you, you have no other choice to be fully strong, fully courageous for the days that lie ahead. If you're able to stand with me tonight, we'll read Joshua chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 1 through 9 in that chapter. It begins reading this way, and I'm reading from the King James Version. After Joshua is assured of God's presence. Verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What a special part of God's word, and very rich to read and to be blessed. May you be blessed by the reading of the word. Let's pray together. Father, the reading of your word alone is message enough. And we thank you that your spirit inspired these words to tell us about Israel's, as they looked across the Jordan River into the promised land after 40 years of wilderness experience. Moses has died, but there's only one choice to make: keep moving forward. And praying tonight, Lord, that you would help us as a church family to continually be advancing, continually moving forward, continue to enlarge our coasts and to do your will on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you tonight for those of us assembled here in this place. Bless now not only the reading of your word and the singing of these great hymns, but Lord, the preaching of your word now. We love you tonight. We ask that you'll speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, finally, the time had come after hundreds of years. It's time for God to make good on his promise to Abraham that this land that you are looking at, that you're standing on, is going to be a gift from my hand to your hand. The time had finally come. Genesis, it started way back in Genesis 13, 15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. You might think, well, it's all over. Moses has deceased and Moses is gone. How are they going to move forward? Well, the Lord messengers come and go, but the message never changes. Sometimes some of us may think, I'm irreplaceable. The church cannot operate without me. They'll not know how to put one foot in front of the other if I were to vacate from the scene. Never imagine such foolish thought. God, messengers rise, messengers fall, they're called home by the Lord, but the message continues to go forward. God is unstoppable, and across the ages we build. Moses didn't act alone. Moses built off the work of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the 12 sons and what happened in Egypt and what happened in the wilderness experience and those, he said, over tens, hundreds, thousands, all of those governing agencies that he had, he never acted alone, as would Joshua. Joshua would not act alone. God placed Joshua in charge after Moses, the great Old Testament prophet, died. And the time had come for Israel to cross the Jordan River and inherit the land. God spoke to Joshua in this text, just like he spoke to Moses, and just like he spoke to Abraham, and just like he spoke to Isaac and to Jacob. God spoke to Joshua. Many would say, boy, I wish God would speak to me. I wish the Lord, if I could just one time, the Lord would speak to me. He has spoken to us by his word. You say, I'd love to hear his voice speak to me. Read the Bible out loud and you will hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you. He has spoken to us through 66 books. We're making our journey through these first five, now into the sixth. We're making our journey through the book of Psalm. We've gone through James. We've gone through 1st, 2nd Peter. Gone through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We're running to get through the word and to hear what the Lord would say to us. And what does he say? He assured Joshua, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to turn out all right. Do we need that message in this day and age today. Billy Graham used to say, I've read the end of the book. Everything's going to turn out okay. And that was what the message that Joshua received. Sometimes we think the world is falling apart at the seams. Actually, the world, from God's perspective, God's sovereignty, God's providence, the world is not falling apart. It's falling together. And everything is going in the direction of a great epic come to Jesus moment. And the saved will stand before him as their savior. The lost will stand before him as their judge. And you say, what's this world coming to? It's coming to Jesus. That's what it's coming to. And he says, before you start up, I just want to tell you that everything's going to be okay. Wouldn't it be great if every military exercise started that way? That it's all, you're going to win. You're going to come home. Everything's going to be fine. We honored our veterans, men and women of the armed forces this morning. But unfortunately, people they know, many of them did not come home. And it's just a memory that a soldier has to live with. Why were they spared and how was it possible that they didn't survive? But God assures Joshua, now there will be casualties, through across these pages that we're about to run across as a church family, but he says you are going to experience overall military success. And God assured him of his presence each step of the way. And the promise that he gave to Joshua is a patently true promise that he has given to every one of us. Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you until the end of the age. I'll never forsake you. I'll never abandon you. I'm always with you." Isn't that a sweet promise that Joshua got and one that we got as well? This, Israel's always having an epic time in world history. They're on the front pages. They're on the front pages every week, it seems like, that little nation that you can put your pinky over and cover. They're in the front pages. But this is an epic time in the history of the nation of Israel. And from this story, we can learn of God's presence in their life, of course, and in our life, and the difference that that makes. Notice with me for a moment, a little bit of a memorial service. I'm calling that memorial for Moses in verses 1 and 2. And then I want to talk from memorial. I want to talk about the mission. He says, I've got a mission for you. Go north, go south, go east, go west. Go, 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 go. This is go time. Mission. And then at the last, he says, okay, beyond memorial and beyond mission, I've got to give you a motivational speak. And he literally, almost metaphorically, grabs Joshua by the lapels and says, be strong and be courageous. And he says it again, be strong, be courageous. Let my word guide you. Let my law thrill you. Let my presence embolden you. And he gives them some motivation at the end of this text. First, the memorial in verses 1 and 2. There we are told of the death of Moses in chapter 1, verse 1. Of course, we covered that Wednesday night. One of the most mysterious events in all of Scripture is Moses being asked to climb up Mount Nebo and go to the summit of Pisgah and look across into the Promised Land. I can imagine when I look at the moon, I guess I'm seeing some, 93,000 miles. You say, how far can the human eye see? From this vantage point, he could see all across the Promised Land, and it lay out there before him. But the mystery was that Moses was up there, he and God alone. He went up healthy. This is a memorial. I'm sure they were all in utter shock. Moses, his eyes were working perfectly well. His body was working perfectly well. He goes up Mount Nebo and up to the summits of Pisgah and looks across those lofty heights up there, and he didn't come back. He died. And he wasn't airlifted up there. He actually climbed this summit. And so, why must they have been shocked when Moses didn't return and the report of his decease came back down that mountain? We're told that the Lord, not only was it that he went up virtually healthy and deceased, God spoke to him and called him home, but we're told that the Lord himself buried him. I mean, that alone is a mystery. Like, the Lord buried Moses? I mean, I can't imagine. It would almost have to be like the Lord Jesus doing a theophany of some sort. The Lord Jesus is up there with a shovel taking care. Then we're told in the New Testament that there was a struggle between Satan and Michael the archangel that struggled over the body of Moses. And what that struggle was over, who can tell? It might be that they would have memorialized Moses' burial spot, or memorialized, elevated Moses to some stature that the Lord did not want him elevated to. But Moses went up that mountain relatively healthy, able to summit by himself, and did not come down. Moses, we're told in Joshua 1:1, he deceased up on that mountain. And with his decease, his prophetic voice is silenced. Moses was the only leader they would have had, many of them in their lifetimes. Moses, his leadership would be gone. His voice would be silenced. His presence, just to be in the presence of this man would have been something really spiritually such a blessing. They mourned for a period of 30 days. They just sat in mourning at the end of Deuteronomy over the death and the departure of Moses, which was customary for them to do in that day. His loss was epic and in a serious way. But all losses are that way. How are they going to go forward? Are they supposed to go forward? Who's going to lead the way? What are we going to do? They're memorializing the death of Moses, but certainly wondering, what are the details? How do we go? How do we move? Does the Lord even want us to go forward from this point? And of course, the answer is yes. The Lord always wanted them to go forward into the promised land. Some of you may be experiencing something very similar to the loss of a Moses in your life. I've been here now for a little over 10 years, and I think that there have been 50 names added to our memorial garden in that 50 years. And moving forward after the loss of a spouse. Now, some of those names on there are husband and wife, but most of them are just a husband or just a wife, and the other person is still beyond. How do you move forward? I think you can learn from a text like tonight that the Lord wants us to move forward. It's tough. There's details that need to be covered that are unimaginable. There's a confusing to-do list. Maybe you didn't pay the bills. Now you have to pay the bills. You don't even know how to pay the bills. There's just confusing things to be done, that a list that could roll from here out to the street. You reconnect with old friends. You may become frozen. I've seen people respond differently to the loss of a spouse. I had a lady one time that was married to a gentleman for a period of 3 months, and he got colon cancer and died, and had only been married for 3 months. She went in total, became a total recluse for a year, and there was nothing abnormal about that. I didn't think that was particularly the healthy choice, but she came back fully vibrant, fully well, fully intact, but she just needed to withdraw for a long, significant period of time to recover from from a marriage that lasted so few days. Reconnecting with old friends, thinking more about heaven. Heaven gets sweeter if you have loved ones that go on before you and you think, okay, I'm going not only to see Christ, now I'm going to see a parent or a child or a loved one who's crossed the threshold of heaven. But as Israel had to keep itself moving forward, we here on earth are called, keep moving forward. Keep moving. Maybe you're suffering from the loss, a death of a loved one, but it may be like a broken marriage that occurs in life. And that's all too common of an issue in this day and age. Somehow we have to find a way to keep moving forward. How do you do that? Seek God's plan for your life. You say, life's not making any sense to me right now. I'm in this crazy fog. Everything's in a fog. And the Lord seems very distant. Even when things don't make sense, continue to trust the Lord even during those times and seek God's new normal, new plan for your life. For Israel, it was time to move forward to the next step of God's plan for them. And so I would say whether you're a nation like Israel and nations need to keep moving in the direction the Lord wants them to move. Whether you're a nation, whether you're an individual, whether you're a family, whether you're a church. There's a lot of twists and turns and bumps in the road. Life gets very complicated sometimes. And find a way to put your soul and life into the hands of the Lord, like they did with this memorial service of Moses. Epic figure. Where Deuteronomy said, the Lord said, there's no prophet like him in Israel. And on Wednesday night, we talked, perhaps not until John the Baptist. John the Baptist, Jesus said, is the greatest prophet that's ever lived. But Moses was a prophet among prophets, but they had to keep going. And I would urge all of us to do the same. Sometimes, you know, these tree, you know, tree specialists will come in and they'll take out some old trees to make room for the new growth to come, for the new growth to come in. The other day, I watched a farmer who was at the end of the year, just disking his field, and I thought it's just a part. Life has these cycles that we go through, of just disking or cultivating or you know, weeding things and harvesting things and moving through. I don't know what season you're in, but take your cues from the nation of Israel. Moses is gone. God has a plan to move forward. And let's figure out what that is. That's the memorial. From the memorial, I go to the mission in verses 3 through 5. Every place, he says, now this is not going to be easy. This is not going to be a cakewalk. This is not going to be a walk in the park. He says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. There's battle language involved in that when you read between the words. That I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness, from Lebanon, the great river, River Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And no one will be able to stand before you. No one is going to conquer you. You are going to be the conqueror. This is not this week. This is going to last your entire life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. So Joshua is being put in charge. God said when they sent those spies over into the promised land to scope out the territory, they sent 12 spies. 10 of them came back and said, wow, there's giants. Wow, they're too big. The cities are fortified. The people are too strong. The military is crazy over there. The people, they have this height, this stature, these grapes. You can't even carry them on your shoulders hardly. It's amazing. Don't go. And God told those 10 spies, you will decease before we enter the promised land. And in fact, everyone over the age of 20 is going to decease. I'm going to keep you in the desert for 40 years. And of course, those over 20 included Moses and included Miriam and included the brother of Moses as well. The only two that would be spared would be, there would be two spared, Joshua and Caleb, because they came back out of the 12 spies. 10 gave a negative report. Don't go, don't go, don't go. Red light. Joshua and Caleb said, green light. They're too big to miss. God is with us. He's going to take care of this. And Joshua is appointed the new leader of the nation of Israel. He had been, in a singular way, Moses' assistant all across that wilderness, that 40 years. He had been noted to be a special assistant to Moses almost from day one. Exodus 17 says when they went against the Amalekites and they needed a general in Exodus 17 in verses 8 through 16 to go against the Amalekites, who's going to be in charge of this outfit? It's going to be Joshua that goes out against the Amalekites. In Exodus 24, Moses is going up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, and it's smoky, and there's lightning, and there's thunder, and there's fog. Joshua eases up in there with Moses a short distance away as Moses went up Mount Sinai in Exodus 24, verse number 13. In Exodus 33, there was the tabernacle and the duties of the tabernacle and the layout of the tabernacle and help is needed in the tabernacle. Joshua is there to help Moses with the duties of the tabernacle. In Numbers 27, we're told we're going to need a leader. What kind of a leader do you? You need a leader within whom the Spirit of the Lord dwells. Who would be the one that we are told the Spirit of the Lord dwells? In Numbers 27:18, we're told the Holy Spirit dwelt within him. God had promised the land to Abraham. He had promised the land to Isaac. He had promised the land to Jacob. He had promised the land to his sons. He promised the land to Moses. And now it's time to enter the promised land. He said, did they own any property in the nation of Israel? The only property they owned was that cave of Machpelah where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were buried and their wives. They owned a burial site. That was it. And they had prepaid burial plans there in the land of Israel. But other than that, they did not have their name on the title of any inch of property in the land. And so the mission before them would take great determination. The Lord's work is not easy. The Lord's work is not for the faint of heart. And the Lord, you better have some clay in your mold if you're going to do the Lord's work. When I was in seminary, they would say, you better have the hide of a rhinoceros and somehow maintain a tender heart under that tough hide. It is going to require and exact a lot of energy out of you. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon signals effort, signals progress, signals intentionality, signals war. And they would have this inheritance, and it was guaranteed to them. You know, we have an inheritance. We have a very bright, it's incorruptible. You know, it's moth and rust can't get to it. Thieves can't get to it. And we need a general. We have one. His name is Jesus. There's going to be a battle. He fought it, and he won that battle. We need a victor, someone who can conquer the grave. God on earth conquered death itself, and we have an inheritance that is ours. Just as they had the inheritance of that vast promised land, we have an inheritance waiting for us in heaven that no stock change, no interest change, no value of gold or silver change, no Bitcoin, no thief, no, you know, cyber criminal. Nothing is going to take that inheritance away from us that has been won by our general, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he ends, he says, I want to do this little bit of, memorial for Moses. And I want to discuss with you the mission in 3-5. And Joshua, by this point, must have thought, it looks way too big for me. Sign somebody else up. He gives him, after he does the memorial and the mission, he gives him some motivation in verses 6-9. In 6-9, he grabs him by the lapels, and he has a father-son come to Jesus talk with Joshua at that point. Sometimes dads need to do plain speak, and dads need to say things where no one has to read between the lines, and no, you're not going to stutter about this subject, and when you walk away, you're going to know exactly what dad thinks about this issue right now. This is a non-negotiable. It's as though the Lord took Joshua and gave him a father-son talk there in verses 6-9. He says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. He says it again, be strong and very courageous in verse 7, that you may observe to do according to all the law. You see these words, you're going to do this, you're going to have to do that, no one else is going to fail it. You, that's the pronoun he uses over and over and over. You say, well, the Lord's with me and he's giving me this land. He expected and assigned these people, these men, to go out and work as hard as they had ever worked in their life. Yes, God is sovereign. I'm your guy for the sovereignty of God. Yes, God is providential. I'm your guy. I have a huge God. And things that are impossible with men, nothing's impossible with him. But when he tells us whether it's Paul and Barnabas to go in, they go in and they do their thing, get beat and evicted and keep going. It takes a lot of clay in our mold to do the work of the ministry. The Lord is saying, you are going to do this. There's nothing about ministry, nothing about church that's for the faint of heart. And we are in a spiritual dogfight. And so much that Paul would say, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the helmet, shod your feet, get on your belt, put on your breastplate, go, 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 go. Pick up your sword and fight. And this is what the Lord is saying to Joshua. Yes, I'm with you. And yes, I'm giving it to you. But you've got skin in the game. And you are going to have to get busy with this. And so he grabs Joshua by the lapel and gives him what I'm calling a motivational talk, saying this isn't a cakewalk. This isn't a joy ride. This isn't for the faint of heart. In fact, this may be the hardest thing you've ever done. Serving the Lord and walking with him can be as painful. It can be as joyful. It can be as glorious. It can be as agonizing. It just swings. The pendulum swings in all different directions. You never know which direction it's going to swing at any point in time. I called my director of missions last week on Monday. I just wanted to have a talk with him. He picked up the phone. You're not resigning on me this morning, are you? That's what I said, well, why would you say it? Well, it's Monday. And he says, I get calls from preachers every Monday that they're resigning. You're not resigning on me. I said, no, this is a good call. This isn't a bad call. He said, okay. But he hears it all. If you've been in the ministry long, if you've been in church long, there are people, millions of Christians walking outside of the church because it just gets tough down in the trenches. And it can get brutal. Down in there, one of my children right now is in a dogfight for the well-being of his own soul and the health and vitality of his church, and I'm trying to shepherd him and help him through this. But church is not easy, and ministry is not easy. He says, this isn't going to be a cakewalk. This isn't going to be a joyride. This isn't going to be for the faint of heart. This is going to be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life, but it is glorious. What you're about to do. And it is worth every ounce of blood, sweat, and tears that you're going to invest in this thing. And God promised to be with Joshua, yet he says, I'm with you. That's no substitute for you having courage and you having strength. And so Joshua was going to have to maintain a great relationship with the Lord and keep his eyes fixed on the Lord at all times. As the writer of Hebrew would say, fix your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Never take your eyes off of Christ. And some people say, well, this guy let me down, and that guy let me down, and she said this, and she said that. He kicked me in the shins. And I'm just going to throw, you take my bat, and I'm going home. You've got your eyes on the wrong thing. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He says, I'm going to be with you. Now, this is going to be tough, but I'm going to be with you. Strength and courage, where was it going to come from? From the Lord, thank you very much. God is going to give strength. God is going to give courage. Really, the truest source of strength, truest source of joy, truest source of love, truest source, everything good comes from the Father above, and God is going to give him the strength that he needs, give him the courage that he needs. Courage doesn't mean that you're not afraid. Courage simply means that when there's dust in the air and the bullets are flying, you're going to trust the Lord when life is upside down. And there may be someone in this room tonight. Life is absolutely standing on its head. I'm saying to you, be strong and of good courage. Trust the Lord even when life doesn't make sense. Even when it seems like you're not going to survive. Trust the Lord. Writer of Scripture says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So when it's scary, when afraid, don't necessarily run, but trust the Lord and remain steadfast. And verses 8 and 9, notice the use of the pronoun you. It's used over and over and over again. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Have not I commanded you, thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Don't you be afraid. Don't you be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you. I mean, can you say the word thee or you more often than that in two verses? He's saying you. He says it over and over again. God tells Joshua, I'm going to give you the land in a sense, but you are going to have to go in and conquer this land. But I'll be with you as you go, and I will direct you, and I will shield you, but you have to do this. And that's what you see. Let God lead. He says this book of the law is going to lead the way. It's going to pave the way. It's going to set the tone. It's going to give you your direction. I've been here for 10 years. You say, aren't you talked out yet? I haven't exhausted Scripture by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think I could have 1,000 lifetimes that exhaust it. But if I'm here for 1,000, you know, one more year or several more years, you will only get the book, because he says you've got to let his word direct you in this battle. That is all I have to give. You are not here to hear me philosophize. You are not here to get my 2 cents worth. The only thing that I have to offer you is the word. He says this book of the law will guide you to success in this battle. And I would say, that the word would guide us, all would be well. What did Luther fight so long ago? October 31, he nailed the 95 Theses to the Wittenberg church door. He was fighting tradition was overshadowing Scripture. He says we've got to let down with tradition, Scripture alone. What was Bonhoeffer fighting? You know, they came in to the church in Germany, the first nation that Hitler took, that Hitler conquered wasn't Poland, it was Germany. And how did he do it? Through the church, said, preach our gospel, and away with the book. The German church had to stand firm. The American church has to stand firm on the word of God, and nothing plus nothing minus nothing. God's word alone. God's word would be at the heart of their success. It would be the acid test for their success. It would be the thing that that's how they were promised success, was to let the word of God, to hear him, to worship him, to love him, to walk with him, to have his hand on your shoulder, to know that the Lord, I would literally go politically insane. I think I would go emotionally insane without this book. This book holds our feet, holds us steady when the whole world is coming apart at the seams. Hearing God, worshiping God, loving God, reading his word will make the difference between, it's the difference between success and failure. It's the difference between victory and defeat. It's the difference between winning and losing. And so the land would be given, but the land had to be claimed. And in this opening volley of the book of Joshua, we are told about a memorial service for Moses, the mission defined, and a motivational speech is given. If you're here tonight and you need a champion for your soul, his name is Jesus. If you're here tonight and you need motivation to keep moving forward, say, I'm stuck on, I just can't move forward, I'm frozen. Let, as the Lord thawed out Israel and said, move forward, may the Lord thaw us out so that we can move forward for the good of others, for the glory of God, and for the well-being of our own soul. If anyone here tonight needs motivation, go to the Lord for that strength and for that courage. Life is tough. It's complicated for preachers just like it's complicated for everybody else. Life is complicated, but never lose your faith and your trust and just your full weight on God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they will see you through with a book in your hand called the Bible. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight for your kindness in just letting us meet together as we consider these things. We pray that you would bless hearts tonight. They needed a champion, Moses. They needed a champion, Joshua. The greatest champion of all is the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you tonight, Father, that we can hold Christ up before a watching world and that he is continues to be in the soul-saving business. There may be some that are just confused. They are Christians. They're just frozen by the circumstances of life. May they get thawed out tonight with the speech that went to Joshua, and may the you given to him be applied to all of our hearts tonight. And may we walk away with our sails, with a breeze from heaven filling our sails, and loving you more when we leave than even when we came in. If there's someone tonight needing a church home, we've had several across the past several weeks saying, I'm making this church my church home. And there may be someone that needs a Savior, someone that needs prayer, someone that needs a church home tonight. May they come, Lord, as we sing in Jesus' name. Amen.